All right. Well, we are in the middle of a series about financial freedom. We're going to jump into that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to make sure that I highlight the fact that I would love to have every single one of you involved more than you currently are here at East Coast International Church. I think every one of you has a way to serve, whether it's the media team that you just heard about or something else. And if you're interested in figuring out how you can connect and how you can serve more, we have some folks in the back on your way out that can help you do that. And we have a whole process to help you figure out the perfect place for you to serve. And we'd love to have you be a part of that. So hope that you do that. And now we are going to do something we've never, ever done before at East Coast International Church. Some very tiny little offering buckets are coming by. And I want you to take out 2 cents from that metal bucket. You are taking money out of the offering today. Let me be very clear. You are never allowed to do this again. But for today, and today only, I want every one of you to take 2 cents out of the little metal bucket. I want you to put it in your hand, and I want you to hold your hand up. Hold your hand up until I know everybody's got one. Then you can put your hand up. No, get your hands, everybody. Once you've got 2 cents in your hand, hold your hand up. All right. So now while those are being passed out, I want to tell you a little bit of a story. We have been in the middle of a financial series. We don't actually talk that much about finances here at East Coast International Church, but this series has been about what God has to say about our finances. And it has reminded me of this story. It's something that happened when I was in my first apartment here in Massachusetts. It was a really nice apartment. It had these giant windows overlooking this beautiful green open space in my kind of front yard. It was gorgeous. I loved it. And at that time, my wife was working a job that had her working late night shifts. I didn't have kids at the time, and so there I was by myself in my apartment, and I found myself having a really difficult financial decision to make. It was difficult because there is something that I had been saving up for several years. It was going to cost me about $879, and I had wanted it for ages. I knew it was going to be very practical. I had been looking forward to buying it, but then there came this moment when I found, why are you putting your hands down? Especially you people in Revere, don't think I don't see you. Get your hands up. I had found just recently this wonderful church in Lynn, Massachusetts, and I wanted to get more involved. So I met with the pastor and I said, "Pastor, what do I have to do to get more involved?" And he said, "Well, it would help if you lived in Lynn," because we only had a Revere location at the time. And so I really wanted to move to Lynn. And I started looking at apartments, my wife and I, we started looking at apartments in Lynn, and lo and behold, it was the top of the market at the time, and apartment prices were skyrocketing just like they are right now, and we could not find an affordable apartment in Lynn, Massachusetts. I mean, forget an apartment that had awesome giant windows like the apartment I was in then. But one of the apartments we looked at, in order to get into the apartment, you had to go in through a 3/4-sized hobbit door. And you could only bring furniture into the apartment that fit through the tiny little door. So, and it was still, by the way, more money than the apartment I was renting someplace else. You could put your hands down. I see all of you have gotten pennies, I think. Do not, however, put those pennies down. You can put your hands down, but I want you to hold those the whole time we're going to be talking. Keep them in your hands. We're going to use them in just a moment. If you put them down, I know that you're going to lose them. So hold on to them the whole time I'm talking. I am going to put mine down because I wave my hands around when I talk. And if I keep them in my hands, I'm going to end up throwing them at the people in the front row. But that is not giving you permission to put them down. That is just me protecting the people that I love in the front row from getting a penny in the face. because that is not the point of that illustration. Nor, by the way, is the point of that illustration that I'm going to make some goofy comment about how Pastor Kurt is missing and not missing, but not here this week. He actually says hello. He just texted me just a couple of moments ago. He says he misses you and loves you and is looking forward to seeing you, but he's away this week. But I am not going to make some silly joke about the fact that Pastor Kurt is away, and so I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in. I have a real point that I'm going to make with those 2 pennies, and you need to hold on to them. The only thing I want you to remember is if you happen to drop them and they roll out into the aisle and then they roll down the aisle and then they roll far, far away, you do not need to scurry after them. It's okay. But otherwise, hold on to them nice and tight. Every once in a while, I'm going to ask you to hold up your hands to make sure you still have them. But I was stuck in this moment where I wanted this thing that was going to cost me $879. And I also really wanted to move to Lynn, and apartment prices were through the roof. And I remember this moment that I felt like God spoke to me, not through like an audible voice, but I had a sense in me as clear as I've ever had. And I'll be honest, I'm not one of those people that this happens to all the time. I don't use that phrase, God talked to me, like every day. I understand God because he talks to me through the Bible, and that's the primary way God talks to all of us. But this was a moment where I felt like I was having a conversation with God, and he said, as clearly as I could understand, would you be willing to give up that thing that you want in order to get what I have for you? Would you be willing to sacrifice that if sacrificing that would get you the apartment you wanted in Lynn? And I'll be honest, it was a really, really hard moment of wrestling for me because I had wanted that for a really long time. I had looked forward to getting it for a really long time. I knew what it was. I knew where it was going. I knew exactly how I was going to use it. I was really, really excited. And so I sat there in that quiet moment right before you go to sleep, wrestling with the tension of trying to follow God with my finances. And that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks here at the church. We've been talking about what does it mean to follow God in the area of our finances? More specifically, what does it mean to gain the financial freedom and security that God wants us to have in our daily lives? And over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Kurt gave us 5 principles that will lead us towards financial freedom. And whether you have been here or not, I want to take just a few minutes and review them so that we can keep moving forward. Here are the principles. Principle number 1 is get out of debt. The idea here is that we need to devote ourselves to making whatever sacrifices it takes to pay off all our debt. The second one is act your wage. We need to make lifestyle choices. That is, choices about our housing and our vehicles, our food and our movies, our groceries and our clothes and everything else. Choices in our lifestyle that are consistent with how much money we actually have coming in. And if we want to up our lifestyle, we don't just start spending more. We find a way to up our income. And that may mean going back to school, or it may mean getting special training, or it may mean devoting ourselves to prayer and asking God to do a miracle. Whatever it means, we act our wage. But how do you actually act your wage? That brings us to the third principle, which is get on a budget. A budget is a spending plan that makes sure that in advance, your spending matches your income. So you know in advance that you have $10 or whatever to spend on coffee this week. You know in advance that you have $4,000 next year to buy the new car that you already know you're going to need next year. Of course, that raises a really important question. How do you actually get that $4,000? And that brings us to our number 4 principle, which is save and invest. Budgets include future expenses. Some of them are short-term future expenses, like a new car or a new boiler. Some of them are long-term future expenses, like retirement. Investing is an active choice to prepare now for long-term future expenses. Saving is an active choice now to prepare for short-term future expenses. I think of saving and investing as my stress reduction plan. You see, I know that if I have not saved, I'm still going to have to buy the new car. I'm still going to have to buy the new boiler. I'm still going to have to make those decisions. I'll just have to do them with no money. And that is stressful. But if I prepare now, every bit of money I put away towards those things reduces my future stress by just a little bit. And then finally, tithing. Tithing is giving God 10% through your local church. It is also a reminder that all that we have is God's. And finally, it is an invitation to God to be involved in our financial process. Get out of debt, act your wage, get on a budget, save and invest, and tithe. Now, if we're honest, and if you're like me, living those out can be very hard. It was just a little more than a year ago that we came to the realization as a family that our car was not going to last forever. And so we needed to start thinking about that. And it happened that a number of my friends who live other places in the country also were at a point of realizing that their cars were not going to make last forever. The interesting thing, though, is that I have a number of friends who make a lot more money than I do. And so they were thinking about what kind of car they were going to replace their car with, and they were buying really, really nice cars. And I could feel the pull, you know? I saw the commercials and the billboards that said for only $199 a month, which, by the way, is $200, not $100, $199 a month or $299 a month or $399 a month, you could have a brand new 2017 whatever. But when we looked at our finances, we needed to be honest about acting our wage. And so we traded in our car, we spent less than $3,000, and we got a 2006 Subaru instead of a 2017 anything. And for the last year plus, I have still successfully driven everywhere I needed to drive. Turns out it works great. I have to take it into the shop in just a couple of weeks. Turns out the only reason I need to take it in is because a part has been recalled and they're going to fix it for free, even this many years later. I love that. Oh, and I also need to make a key because it's like the fancy kind of key that you can't just make at Home Depot, which I think is like robbery, but nevertheless, that's a different sermon. It is hard to act your wage, especially when we live in a culture where everybody else isn't. It's hard to think about tithing if you've never thought about it before. If you make $300 a week, giving $30 to God is a hard thing. If you make $1,000 a week, it's giving God $100 a week. It's a hard thing. And over the last couple of weeks, as we talked about these principles, normally I'm not standing up here in the front. I'm standing right over there in the back. And over the last couple of weeks, I felt like I could feel the emotion in the room. In some cases, it wasn't that difficult to read. As Pastor Kurt got closer and closer to a call for action, suddenly lots more people than usual really had to go to the bathroom. And so there was sort of a rush out the door. I have a feeling I know what that means. But I also could feel it. I could feel the fact that there was this sense of, well, but my situation is a lot different. There was a sense of being overwhelmed just thinking about this sometimes. Whether greater or lesser, to a more or less extent, there was an underlying current in many folks that I would describe as hopelessness. I can't. I am not able. It's impossible. I would if I could, but I can't. Maybe I will be someday able to, but right now it's impossible. One of the things I am really grateful for when I read the Bible is that the Bible is full of people not just who like do the whole follow Jesus thing awesome. There are a bunch of people in the Bible who make lots of mistakes in the whole follow Jesus thing, who are less than perfect examples, people I can relate to on an everyday basis. One of those situations I was reminded of as I thought about this sense of this is impossible, I can't do this, that seemed to be an undercurrent in the room, underlying current in the room. And it was this moment when Jesus was actually away from his original followers, his first disciples. He was off doing something else, and a group of his disciples were trying to do something that was the sort of thing Jesus obviously would have wanted them to do. In this case, it was heal somebody. And they tried, and they tried, and they completely failed. It was impossible. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and like that, he heals the kid, and it's over, and it's fine. And it leaves them asking a question. It leaves them asking, what's wrong with me? Why is it that I couldn't do it? Why was it not possible for me when it was so clearly possible? What's missing in my life? I think Jesus' answer has a lot to offer us in this area of finances. Jesus' answer in Matthew 17:20 is this. He said to his disciples, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Whenever we have that feeling, oh, it's impossible, Jesus' response is, "You don't have enough faith." That's Jesus' diagnosis, a lack of faith. But it raises a really important question. What exactly is faith? I'm reminded of faith every time I'm in somebody's home and they open the fridge and they find something that they had forgotten a very long time ago that it was there. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been going through the fridge and you realize that there are some leftovers that have been like there for so long, you're not actually sure what's in the container? And so like you see it in the back, and you reach through all the other stuff and you pull it out. And if you are profoundly courageous, you lift the lid. But if you are spiritually courageous, you lift the lid and try a little. Right? Like that is the height of courage. But you know what happens next, right? If you are the kind of person who tries a little bit, if there is anybody else in the room, you know what happens. You try it and you say, "Oh, that was awful. Try this." And 100% of the time, when people tell me, "That was awful. Try this," I say, "No, thank you. I'm good." That is faith. You see, faith is a confidence in a person. It's trust. When someone tells me something is disgusting tasting, I'm just more than happy to trust them that they know what they're talking about. I do not need to confirm their taste buds' abilities. When God tells me what it is I need to do, faith is taking action. It is a belief or a confidence or a trust in God that results in taking action you might not otherwise have taken. So in other words, if I open the container, or if you open the container and I can smell it and it smells disgusting and I say, no, I'm not having any, that's not faith in you. That is faith in my own sense of smell. But if it happens to look really good to me, if it happens to smell fine, and you say, taste this, it's disgusting. If I say, no, I'm good, that's all right, I trust you, that's faith. Faith is believing that God can and will act in our lives, that we can trust him. But that forces us to ask an important question. How exactly is it that God wants to act in your life? See, we often ask God to come into a situation that we think of as completely hopeless. We've given up. We can't do anything. We are failures. And so we ask God to come in and work his way around us to fix the situation. One of the things I find interesting about that verse we just read is that Jesus seems to have been a little frustrated with the disciples. It's not the first time, and it's not the last time Jesus gets frustrated with the disciples. And very often, he seems to get frustrated with the disciples for the exact same reason. You see, Jesus, he was more than capable of going around the disciples and healing that kid. But Jesus didn't want to go around the disciples. He didn't want to skip the disciples in the process. He wanted to work through the disciples. And so when the disciples weren't available to work through, he was frustrated. And the same is true with you and me. So often, our prayers are asking God to make an end run around us, to fix a situation despite us. And I'll tell you, God doesn't want to go around you. God doesn't want to go over your head. God wants to work through you. Because way back at the beginning of creation, at the beginning of the world, in creation, God had finished more or less creating the world, and he wanted to find the perfect way to act in the midst of creation. He was passionate about being involved in the day-to-day operations of life in the universe he'd made. And in order to do that, he decided to come up with the best possible strategy for staying involved in the world on a daily basis. And you know what he did? He created humanity. Humanity was God's best solution for how he could be involved in the everyday life of the world. And that has never changed. He designed you so that he could work through you in the world. He designed you so that you would be the perfect tool by which he could change the world. And this is not true anywhere more than it is in the area of your finances. But if we know how God wants to act, we need to give ourselves a chance to understand what it is that God wants to do. What does God want to do in your finances? You see, it's easy to believe in the sacrifice that following God requires. You know, I know when we talk about the idea of a budget, it's a great idea, but boy, if you are working off of budget for the first time, it feels like a sacrifice. And I know that the idea of acting your wage or saving and investing, if you have never done those things before and you are like wrestling to do them, it feels like a sacrifice. And if all we can envision is the sacrifice, we will have absolutely no motivation to actually do them. What God wants to do in working through you, he wants to give you a chance to envision not just the sacrifice, but what is beyond the sacrifice. What the sacrifice can bring you in your life. He wants you to be envisioning a worthwhile future that makes sacrifice worth doing. Still got those pennies? Lift those pennies up for me. Lift those pennies up. Good job, every location. Lift those pennies up. All right, you can set them down. You can set them down. Keep holding them. And I want you to close your eyes for a moment. This is not a practical joke. I promise you're safe. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Because I want you to imagine a future in which you are financially free and secure. This will be different for every one of us. For some of you, that might be imagining yourself at a job that pays you enough to actually pay the bills. For others, it might be imagining yourself owning your own home, having the safety and security and stability of knowing it doesn't matter what happens to the market because you own your home and no one can take it away from you. For some of you, it might be imagining buying an old car so that you can have $200 or $300 or $400 in cash in your budget every single month. For others, it might be imagining retiring at 65 or 70 years old and being able to fully depend on your savings because you have prepared yourself ahead of time to have a financial income. For others, you might be imagining leaving each of your grandchildren a house when you pass away because you want to ensure financial stability, not just for yourself, but for your family, for generations to come. Whatever it is for you, I want you to get a crystal clear picture of financial security and freedom fixed in your mind right now. Now you can open your eyes. Still got that 2 cents? Now if I asked you to take those 2 cents and on the way out, grab an envelope, stick the 2 cents in an envelope, and hold on to that envelope for like a year or two or even three, probably most of you could do that, couldn't you? If I asked you to take those 2 cents, and when I have everybody stand at the end of the sermon, if I had everybody stand and said, hey, could everybody bring your 2 cents and put them down on the stage, probably most of you could do that. Now, I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, I am giving you those 2 cents today. Don't say I never gave you anything. But what would make it so easy to follow those directions is that it's just 2 cents. It's just not that big a deal, right? One of the things I'm incredibly grateful for is that when Jesus was talking to those disciples who had thought that something was impossible, he told them they could move mountains in their lives. But if they wanted to move mountains, they needed to have faith. I am so grateful that he told them not that if they want to move mountains, they need to have mountain-sized faith. That would be a bit daunting. He told them that if they wanted to move mountains, they needed to have mustard seed-sized faith. Now, if you hold a mustard seed next to a mountain, it looks really tiny. But that is all the faith you need. If Jesus had been talking in financial terms, he might have said that if you want to change your financial future, all you need is 2 cents worth of faith. 2 cents worth of faith can change your financial future. Now, how is that possible? It's possible because if you give faith a chance, faith will always spiral out of control. faith will always spiral out of control. Here's what I mean by that. Let's say for a moment that when I had put those five principles on the screen, you looked through them and you thought to yourself, if I'm honest, I need to get on a budget, but that's impossible. But you thought to yourself, but Pastor Joshua is challenging me to think about what is a 2-cent sized act of faith in that area. And you thought to yourself, well, I can't get myself on a budget, but you know what I could do? I could admit to my small group leader that I need to get on a budget and ask for help. I might not be able to do the whole process, but I can at least say those 2 sentences. And honestly, that may be all I can do, but I can do that. That is a 2-cent size act of faith. It's uncomfortable, isn't it, to admit that you need help? It's uncomfortable to admit that financially you're not doing okay. But you think to yourself, well, that is a 2-cent sized act of faith. I can do that. But what's amazing is when you spend that 2 cents on that act of faith, you find that instead of running out of faith, you have built your faith. All of a sudden, you used to have just a tiny little bit of faith, and now, as a result of having acted in faith, you suddenly have more faith. You don't just have 2 cents worth of faith now, you have 4 cents worth of faith. And so when that small group leader says to you, you know, that's great. I'm so glad you're willing to be honest and vulnerable about that. But I have a friend in the church who's really great at finances. You should sit down and talk with them. They can help you. Now, if we'd started off saying that all you need to do is sit down and talk to a stranger about your finances, you'd have been like, yeah, no, that's not happening. That's more faith than I've got. But after talking to someone you do trust, when they lead you to somebody you don't know yet and suggest that you talk to them, all of a sudden, you can handle that size faith. And you can do it. And you can spend your now 4 cents of faith on making that decision. And when you spend that 4 cents on making that second decision, all of a sudden, you find yourself not having run out of faith, but now you might have 25 cents worth of faith or 50 cents worth of faith. And so when that complete stranger says to you, you know, next time we talk, I'd like you to bring in all of your bills so we can look them over together. Now, if at the beginning of this process, somebody had said to you, hey, what I need you to do is show all of your bills to a stranger, you'd have said, no, thank you. But you spent the 2 cents, and then you stretched yourself a little more and spent the 4 cents. And so now, it turns out that that person you didn't know is actually a pretty decent person. So when they ask you to bring in all your bills and everything, is it comfortable? No. But are you able to do it? Absolutely. And so suddenly that 25 cents of faith that you had, you spend it. And you find yourself not having no faith left. But now you've got $1 or $2 worth of faith, which is great because now that person you didn't even know a month or two ago is sitting down with you and saying, here's the thing. If you really want to get on a budget, what you need to do is only buy coffee 3 times a week. And let's be honest, that's like a $5 or $10 faith right there, right? And you couldn't have done that at the very beginning. But you spent your 2 cents. And then you spent the 4 cents, and then you spent the 25 cents, and then you spent the dollar, and now you're ready to spend the $5 in faith that has grown inside of you. And so you do it. And as your faith grows, the challenges grow. But as the challenges grow, your faith grows. And so later on, you find yourself challenged to downgrade your phone plan and to keep a phone more than just 2 years. Because it works fine. And then you find yourself challenged not to buy anything new, clothes or whatever, for like 90 days. And you think to yourself, I could never have done that at the start of things. But I spent my 2 cents, and then I spent my 4 cents, and then I spent my 25 cents, and my faith has been growing, and now I have $25 worth of faith, and I can do it for 90 days. And then maybe that person challenges you on tithing or saving up monthly for an emergency fund or saving up for retirement. And over the course of a day, it doesn't seem like too much has happened. And maybe it doesn't take just a week, and it certainly doesn't just take a month. But over the course of months, or maybe even years, you find that suddenly you are living on a budget and you never thought it was possible. And it all started with you making a single decision to be vulnerable that cost you your 2 cents worth of faith. And you know why it spirals out of control like that? Because it is exciting when you find out that when you give up your 2 cents worth of faith, when you take a little bit of a risk for faith, that you end up with more faith, not less faith, less faith. And so when you spend that faith and find out that when you spend it, you've got more, all of a sudden you want to use up that faith too, because that will give you even more faith. And then you want to use up that faith, because then you'll have even more faith. And so you start with little risks, but then bigger risks and bigger risks and bigger risks and bigger risks until you're willing to do things that never seemed possible, things you never dreamed you could do, because your faith has been growing as you've chosen to risk and trust that God's way is the best way. And so it spirals and it spirals and it spirals, and all of a sudden, your faith moves mountains when all you had was 2 cents worth of faith. Faith always spirals out of control if we are willing to continue doing, out of obedience for God, things that are uncomfortable. As long as we're willing to obey God and do uncomfortable things, and let me be honest, I don't mean wildly uncomfortable things. I mean mustard seed-sized uncomfortable things. Of course, the size of uncomfortable will keep growing if you do this. Things that used to be uncomfortable will turn into normal, and you'll have to find new uncomfortable things. But eventually, our faith will be out of control, and it will take over our lives and carry us places we never dreamed possible. As the worship team comes up here, I want you to think about something. I want you, you've still got those 2 cents, I want you to ask yourself, how am I going to spend my 2 cents worth of faith today? We're specifically talking about finances right now. So how can you take a step of faith in the area of finances this week? Let's narrow this down a little bit. First of all, let's narrow it down to one of these five principles. Get out of debt, act your wage, get on a budget, save and invest, and tithe. Which of those do you need to grow in right now? And now I want you to think for a moment about a specific way you can take a 2 cent sized act of faith in that specific area of your life. As you're thinking about that, I want you to stand with me. Stand up. Everybody stand up for me. How can you take a 2 cent sized act of faith in that area this week? If it's getting out of debt, it may be that you have to ask yourself, how much can I commit to paying towards debt beyond what I'm already doing? $25 or $50 or $500 a month, whatever it is that you can do. If it's acting your wage, how can you limit your lifestyle? Limit buying coffee or clothes. Limit going out to eat or going to the movies, buying a cheaper car or a cheaper housing. If it's getting on a budget, what is the 2 cent act of faith you can take this week? Is it downloading the Every Dollar app that we talked about last week? Or setting aside an hour this week to explore it? Is it gathering your bills and having the courage to honestly look at them? Or asking a leader for help? If it's saving or investing, do you need to work on short-term savings or long-term investment? Can you put in $10 or $25, $50, $100? What can you start doing right now? What is the 2-cent act of faith that you can do in your life this week? Or if it's tithing, is that 2-cent act of faith 1% or 5%? Is it 10%? Or for some of us, it's going beyond that to an 11th or 12th percent to give to missions or legacy or something else. I want you in your own mind right now to be very concrete, very specific about how you can act out 2 cents worth of faith this week. And then I want you to turn these 2 cents into a reminder. You may want to glue these to a credit card so it won't stick in the machine anymore. You might want to take a coffee cup on the way out, drop these in the coffee cup, and put it in the coffee holder, the cup holder, in your car, so that every time you're tempted to go buy a cup of coffee, you can remind yourself that there is something in that place in your life that is more important. Or you may want to have your kids draw a picture of a house and tape these to that picture and put it on your fridge to remind you that you are no longer going out to eat all the time. You are eating at home, and so you put it on the fridge as a reminder that there is something more important that your money is going towards now, a home for your family. Whatever it is, I want you to be creative about creating a reminder in your life about how it is that you are going to spend your 2 cents worth of faith this month, this week, today. And honestly, I would love to know what you do. I would love to hear about it. So if you don't have my number, it is on the back of the bulletin. Grab a bulletin on your way out. But I would love to have you text me a picture of what you do with your 2 cents. Or text me a description of what you do with your 2 cents. I would love to hear so that I can be praying with you. Because we don't want to do this sort of journey alone. And more importantly than anything else, we want to make sure we actively involve God in the process. So I'm going to ask you to do something. If you thought about one of those 5 areas, getting out of debt, acting your wage, getting on a budget, saving and investing, or tithing, if you have thought to yourself as I've been talking, yes, there is one of those I specifically need to work on in my life right now, I would ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call on you. I'm not going to tell you that you need to tell anybody. It's private between you and God, but I want you to raise your hand so that you know you're not alone. Look around for a moment. There are a lot of people who are on this journey together. And now what I want you to do is every single one of you who have had your hands up, or if you have wanted to put your hand up and just haven't had the courage to yet, I want to invite you to all come forward right now. Come on forward again. I'm not going to make you tell anything to anybody. We're not going to put you on the spot, but come on forward right now. Come forward enough that there's room for lots of people, because it's not like 4 people who are on this journey together. There are lots of us who are on this journey towards financial freedom. In just a moment, we are going to sing one final song. And while we sing this song, I want you to talk to God. So don't go back to your seat when we start singing. Stay right here. And I want you to talk to God about 2 things. Number one, I want you to talk to God about the risk you are going to take in the next week or 2 weeks. The way that you are going to spend your 2 cents worth of faith that you have. And second, I want you to ask God for his help so that you can succeed in taking that risk, so that that risk can grow your faith. In just a moment, I want you to talk to God about those 2 things. But before you do, I want to take a moment and pray for all of us together. So before we sing, before we pray, let me pray for you. God, I want to pray for every man and woman and child in this room. My prayer is that we would become a people who are marked by financial freedom and financial security. God, I pray that you would release us into financial blessing and train us to be responsible with it. God, may we be free from financial worries and live in financial peace. And specifically, God, I want to pray for these men and women who have a clear sense of a way that they can spend their 2 cents worth of financial faith this week. I pray that you would give them the wisdom and the courage to make that choice this week. And then when their faith grows, to make the next choice. And then to make the next choice. And God, may you carry us along the way as we partner with you to gain financial freedom in our lives. Thank you. This week, may you spend your faith. And may you take one more step closer to financial freedom and security. And in the journey, may God bless you and be with you. It is so good to see you here today. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy your week.